Welcome to the John Leonetti Show. Please hold while we connect your call.
Hey, I'm on the phone with Carlo Broussard right now, apologist for Catholic Answers. He's actually got a kind of a cool gig that he's doing in Oklahoma. You'll hear about that as well. But we talk about the problem of evil specifically. I didn't really intend to get into that, but we did, and how it is that we can see God through that lens. Don't forget to like, subscribe. I was going to say call me, but don't call me. No, like and subscribe, comment on these videos, send them out to your friends and family too. God bless you.
If you would like to sponsor one of our calls, email us at thejohnleonettishow@gmail.com. And now, for your listening pleasure, The John Leonetti Show, calling all Catholics. Enjoy.
Carlo.
Hey.
It's been a while.
Yes, sir.
How you been?
Good to talk to you. I've been well.
What's new with you? I think last time I saw you, we were in the Kansas City airport or something like that, randomly.
Yeah, I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma currently. I've been here for 2 years, continuing to do my work for Catholic Answers, but we entered into a partnership with the diocese that involved me moving here, and they subcontract me for some of my time. So I'm hopping around from parish to parish, giving talks and presentations and stuff, doing a local radio show, doing a bunch of different stuff in the diocese.
Wait, so you're with a diocese as well?
Yep. Yeah, we entered into a formal partnership. So I'm still full-time employed by Catholic Answers, but the diocese subcontracts me for some of my time.
Is this like a thing? Like,
it's a thing
like
now.
Evangelists into diocese? I like this.
Exactly. Yep. I establish a formal presence of Catholic Answers in the diocese, specifically directed to go out and evangelize.
Is this like a Catholic Answers thing, or is this like one off for you?
Yep. It's a one off for me. It's the first of its kind.
Yeah.
And we'll see if it sparks other kinds of, like, serves as a model for other kinds.
So what do? You go to parishes, you hold like question and answers, or kind of
all of the above: missions, retreats, talks, Bible studies, OCIA talks. I started a home ministry of having group apologetic studies in my home, both teen and adults. Been doing that for 2 years. It's been great, man. It's been awesome. Yeah.
What have you found that people are most interested in when it comes to the faith? Like things that maybe they don't know or they want to learn more about?
Well, here in the Tulsa area, it's Protestant playland and Protestant dominance. So all of the Catholic distinctives and topics that arise in conversations between Catholics and Protestants are what's on people's hearts and minds here in the Tulsa area. So that's primarily what I've been focusing on. And it's just the common stuff: saints, Mary, papacy, all that stuff.
What's your, what would you say is like your specialty? What's your gift to talk about?
Much of my training is in the Catholic-Protestant dialogue and conversation, and learning the Catholic distinctives and refuting Protestant challenges. I've written 4 books that deal primarily with those types of issues. But then, given my training in philosophy, having a master's and a doctorate in philosophy now, I do specialize in philosophical apologetics. So dealing with issues pertaining to God's existence, refuting atheism and agnosticism, and defending God against atheists. So
that's got to be fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun, actually.
Knowing you a little bit, I got to feel like you wake up for that one right there.
Yeah, I do. Although I don't get to engage in it all that much because of the effort that is required for thinking through such issues on a philosophical level. Many of our constituents at Catholic Answers just aren't. There's a lot, but many aren't quite ready to receive that sort of highbrow philosophical thinking. So the audience is indeed restricted and very limited. So whenever I get a chance to do it, it's quite fun.
So when you are going out into these parishes and you're talking to people, is it mostly kind of adults, maybe a little older, that are looking for, you know, maybe answers to talk to their kids or maybe even some of their friends? Or is this something that you're kind of finding across the board? It sweeps all generations, people really diving into kind of the truth of the church.
Yeah, so I do both teen and adult ministry. Like I said, I do some teen ministry in my own home, having teen group studies ranging from 40 to 45 kids, and they are totally digging the apologetics and learning how to explain and defend their faith, especially in relation to their Protestant friends here in Tulsa. And then the adults, it's adults who are desiring to know more about their faith and wanting to know how to engage in conversations with their Protestant friends primarily.
I mean, I look back to my early years, right? Like my early years when I was really kind of dabbling in my faith and really thinking about it or talking about it more, it was all apologetics. Right. I mean, and there wasn't a lot of heart for me there. There was a lot in my brain, right? I wanted to answer those questions. I feel like I came into a passionate love for my faith through apologetics first. And then it kind of penetrated the heart, right? I went on a 9-day silent retreat that changed my life, really got into Ignatian spirituality, 3 or 4 masses a week, all of that just kind of deepened the heart. But I came into it with the mind first. Is that a route?
Yeah, I mean, as Peter Crave said, the mind is the gateway to the heart. God has set it up such that he has created us and we are hardwired that we can only pursue that which we perceive and know to be good. So the mind comes first in recognizing what is true, good, and beautiful, and then the will follows. And so this is why I think apologetics is a good and something that needs to be preserved and offered in beautiful ways, because it presents the truth of the faith. And of course, it does deal with challenges and objections, but the truth shines all the brighter whenever it's contrasted with error. And once the mind comes to see and know that truth, then the will follow and desire it and delight in it when it comes to know it and possess it. So apologetics can serve the heart.
What would you say when you're talking to those that may not believe or may question? What would you say is their main reasoning? Why is it the problem of evil? Is it kind of that?
Yeah, that's one of the standard obstacles to belief in God, is the problem of evil. And probably rather than an intellectual problem, more so the emotional side of things.
Interesting.
So, you know, when people ask, you know, why does this evil exist when God is all good? Sometimes when they ask that, it can be sort of the philosophical problem, like I cannot intellectually reconcile an all good God in the existence of evil in my life. Mm-hmm. But for others, it's like, why would God allow this, in the sense like I can't see any good that could possibly come from this experience of evil in my life. And there's a sense of deep frustration, right? And we, even as believers, experience that and have to wrestle with that. And ultimately, the answer to that question is sometimes we don't see the good. We know that there is a good, but we don't see it. And just because we can't see it doesn't mean there is no good. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But then to embrace the struggle, and from the Christian perspective, is to bow in humility and say, hey, look, I don't know why God permitted this evil in my life or in your life, but I have enough evidence from both what I can think of reasonably and from God's revelation through Scripture that God orders all things to the good for those who are faithful to him and believe in him. So that there is a good, I know, but what it is, I do not. And so we embrace the cross and carry it, and trust that God will give us the strength to endure it, and that we can have purpose and meaning in it because of the revelation that Christ gives us. There is reward at the end.
I'm no apologist, but you know, when I will go out and maybe give a parish mission or a men's conference, inevitably there's, you know, one or two people that'll come up, and it's almost like, you know, you're not going to understand this because, you know the answer to it, but here's what I'm going through. And it's like, well, wait a second, just because you may know the answer to it doesn't mean it's not the most difficult thing in the world to still wrap your mind around, right? Or difficult to live.
Absolutely. Knowing the answer to things and knowing that there is a good on this side of the veil can decrease the sting of the problem and the trouble a little bit, but it's not going to fully dispel the emotional experience and trauma of the evil. And so that's something, as I said, we as even believers have to deal with. But that's where the Christian message comes in, of redemptive suffering, right? Where our Lord invites us to enter into that mystery of suffering and evil with him, knowing that he's going to give us the grace to get us through it, but also knowing that whenever we offer it up to him as an act of worship or sacrifice, which in turn ultimately is an act of love, that can it can actually contribute to our own growth and holiness and ultimately our own salvation. And then it can also be an act of love for others, where through the suffering, we can actually be loving others by offering it up for them. Now, of course, that can only be seen through the lens of Christian revelation, but it is a lens to look through. And so we can say with St. Paul, I rejoice in my sufferings, as he says in Colossians 1:24.
You still going out and speaking at all? Getting out to other dioceses, or you guys stay there?
Yep. I am traveling the country as well. Nice. I was just in Alabama. I gave a keynote address for the Guadalupe Radio Network for their five stations in Alabama. Did some filming at EWTN. I'm heading to Cedar Rapids in a couple of weeks. I'll be heading to California. I was in Steubenville over the summer for their annual Defending the Faith conference. So, yes, yeah, still getting out.
What's that like, Defending the Faith conference? I have not been to it yet, but I've heard it's amazing.
It is. It is beautiful. I was there last summer. They invited me back this summer. Both times I was moved by the Spirit in my heart in a very powerful way, which doesn't happen very often. So it was quite nice. I love the team there, Dr. Hahn, Kimberly Hahn, and their team for the conference.
Yeah.
Just very lovable people, very easy to work with. It's a well-oiled machine. So we had about 750 people, I think, at the conference, which is low for them in relation to prior years before COVID.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful experience. Yeah, I really enjoyed my time speaking over there, and I look forward to going back.
You're working on any books right now?
Well, my latest book just came out called Baptism Now Saves You, How Water and Spirit Give Eternal Life, hot off the press. It just got released this week. We got hard copies, and it's available for sale at shop.catholic.com. So that's my latest book. And then I have some ideas and a sort of a rough outline for my next project, but that has to get on hold because in a few months, I'm going to be launching a new YouTube channel called Dr. Carlo, and it'll be a video podcast to join ranks with Trent, Joe, and Jimmy.
Nice, man. Nice. Hey, how can we pray for you?
Man, pray for my wife and my kids, who always have to receive the brunt of the fight against the evil one and doing evangelization. So just pray for our family that we can stay united and stay at peace and in love with Christ.
One memorare for the family. One memorare when we get off the phone. All right, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
God bless you. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, later.
Thanks for your time. Bye.